It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this first day of November 2022. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. And for those of you who do, let me simply say thank you for listening to the podcast and participating in this long-running discussion coming up on the 20-year discussion now. Thank you. And, today's kind of weird for me. At the beginning of Slaughterhouse-Five, Kurt Vonnegut says, Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time. Well, it's fitting because this is that time of year when certain people believe that the veil between this world and the spirit world is particularly thin. And I don't know how much of that I go in for, but, well, my dad would have been 98 years old today. So it's a safe bet he wouldn't have made it that far. He made it to 82. I've been thinking a lot today about this day, 98 years ago, about 2.5 miles from where I am now, and the cry of a newborn, and what that little life saw in the 82 years that he was on this earth. And it simply blows my mind. Among other things, he said, what with Veterans Day coming up, he said that as of the morning of December 7th, 1941, he had never in his life heard of Pearl Harbor. And it would come to signify the single greatest change in his entire life. And, of course, 1 year ago today, I began the process that led to the single greatest change in my life. And I'm not going to dwell on it. It feels pretty miraculous. But Annette and I got up at, we got out of here at 5:30 in the morning. And as I have mentioned, we drove 14 hours straight through. That evening when we got to Spanish Fort, Alabama, she met Miss Terry for the first time. We had dinner down there and then made our way on down to the beach. Had a few glorious days down there and then back up to Birmingham for the most profound moment of my entire existence. So, like I said, I've been pondering things today. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. And it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. A day when we take note of titanic manifestations of what passes for intellect among the maggot right. Hoo-wee. we've got lots of such manifestations this evening, without a doubt. God, I love that gif, Asa. Shucky ducky, Trump's not a racist. That's the signal for the secret signal for letting me know that the stream's going out, and he often accompanies it with a gif of Herm Cain, Herb Cain. Thank you, Godzilla from Wasilla. Smiling, and it says, peekaboo, I see you, I see you. The letter I, the letter C, the letter U. Yeah, he sacrificed himself, Herb did, for his lord and master, his orange god, Nitwit Nero. Yeah. But anyway, if you pop by the chat room, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Theo and Squeaky and New Jersey Nick and Irish Dave and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. Yes, yes. And being the first of the month, we have thanks to send out to our first of the month PayPal subscribers. Thank you very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. It means, well, maybe it doesn't mean more than you know. Maybe you realize that without you, this program does not exist. So we say thank you to Tom and Sunny San Rafael, and to Rusty, and to Joseph, and to Mark. Thank you all so very much, and thanks in particular to Max. Thank you so much, Max. Max jumped in knowing that this was Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge Day, the first broadcast day of any month. We have $300 on the table that, if matched, turn into $600. And so, thank you to Max in California. Well, doggone it, we are two-thirds of the way there on our Memorial Challenge. So we need to raise $100 to finish the challenge, and then that would mean that we have only $200 more to go to be even for the very, well, for the end of October and the very beginning of November. I despise talking about this, but it's the only way that I've yet come up with to run a radio network that doesn't involve encouraging you to eat pills made out of, that might or might not be made out of beets. So, you know, there's that. Yeah, Matt in San Francisco. Wasn't it Herman? Yeah, Herb Cain was a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. True. But you are failing to take into account the idiocy of Caribou Barbie, who back in the day referred to him as Herb Cain because she's a toxic freaking idiot. So, that's the distinction. But you are not wrong, Matt. You're not wrong at all. We do have a lot of things to go into this evening. I mean, we've got the Amazonian version of Nitwit Nero refusing to concede the beating that he took from Luis da Silva, but agreeing that the transition could go forward. That's a weird little... And the world doesn't need Brazil in chaos. Brazil's a huge nation, and Brazil doesn't need Jair Bolsonaro in power, especially, not to put too fine a point on it, especially if you happen to be an indigenous Brazilian, because Jair Bolsonaro, well, he's developed the usual fascist taste for genocide. And, well, it does not bode well. Lucky you, Matt says, my bad, I guess I've grown the ability to not hear anything from that woman. Oh, it was years ago. I just hang on to it like a dog with an old bone. That's on me. But in terms of just getting things started, the big breaking news of the day, for instance, the entire Supreme Court has told Miss Lindsay to shut up and testify. Mm-hmm. Fappy Thomas tried to help him out and put the stay on the order for him to testify. But the Supreme Court today, the full Supreme Court said, uh-uh. No, you're going to have to go down there and give some testimony, Lindsay. It's, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. I really don't. Ralphs, by the way, who is one of the three who make Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge happen, said, "Come on, people, make me pay." So it's just $100, and then if we could raise three, we're even for the first day of the month, which is kind of frankly miraculous these days. But where to begin? Well, another Supreme Court news, and this is, of course, Titanic maggot intellect. On the same day that the Supreme Court told Miss Lindsay to grab himself a margarita and a Dawn and go on down there and testimonial-fy in Fulton County, Georgia, and I wonder if he will. I wonder if he's willing to test whether or not Fannie Willis would maybe seek extradition if he refuses to go to, or maybe they'll come to, who knows, maybe they'll come to him there at the, and depose him there at the family estate of Smoldering Chode. One never knows. But on the same day that they told Lindsay to testify, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts temporarily enjoined the House Ways and Means Committee from receiving Nitwit Nero's tax returns, and the deadline for submitting arguments on it is later this week. That after the D.C. Circuit said no, they get your tax returns, dumbass. But he wants to submit a formal appeal. In pleadings filed yesterday, his pettifoggers said, "This case raises important questions, believe me, about the separation of powers that will affect every future president." We talked about this yesterday. "The committee's purpose in requesting President Trump's tax returns has nothing to do with funding or staffing issues at the IRS and everything to do with releasing the president's tax information to the public." Which there's no indication that the House Ways and Means Committee is going to do. So, yeah. Nonetheless, well, thanks for nothing. Balls and strikes. Ugh. But, you know, maggots gonna maggot. Weird little piece of video out, as if we had any doubts. I guess. Okay. This is sort of weird to sort out. At one point, Nitwit Nero, I guess, dated a model by the name of Kara Young. Nothing in here about where he might or might not have grabbed her. But, as part of Maggie Haberman's book, Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America, Maggie Haberman sat down sat down with Jonathan Alter, to talk about the relationship with Trump's relationship with Carrie Young. I guess this is not surprising, but it is further confirmation of something we've long suspected. Shucky ducky, Trump's not a racist. It, you know, until he is, because he's soak, son of a Klansman.
We're actually talking about someone who dated former President Trump as well, airing tonight, correct?
That's right. Yeah. Carrie Young was a supermodel back in the 90s. She went out with Trump for a couple of years in between Marla and Melania, those two marriages. And she's never talked about that time together. She's biracial. Her mother is black. Her father's white. And she sits down with me to talk about a comment that's in the new Maggie Haberman book called Confidence Man. There's a quote in there in which Trump is quoted as saying, now he had met Carrie's parents, that she gets her beauty from her mother and, quote, her intelligence from her father, the white side, end quote. I asked Cara, did he say that?
Of course.
She said, yep, I was standing right there when he did. She says she admonished him. She said, you can't talk like that. That's mean. And she also talks about some other situations.
It's also racist.
That some point to as evidence that if Donald Trump were to decide to run for president again, some say among the many bits of baggage that he'd have to take into that contest would be the accusation that he's racist. And there are moments that Ms. Young talks about in our conversation in which she addresses that very question. It is very interesting, the very first time that she has ever spoken about her time with the then future president.
Yeah, that comes from Inside Edition. Jonathan Alter talking directly with Maggie Haberman. And we get this.
Really or not.
I mean, some of the big public things like birtherism was thoroughly racist. But there are other details you have. Like, I didn't know that he had a girlfriend just before Melania.
Overlapping with her.
Yeah. Overlapping with Melania. Yeah.
Overlapping. That sounds fun.
Half black.
Just died up. Well, wait a minute. Whole darn PC just died on me. Really? That's what we're going to do for the first day of November? Some days. How bizarre. Sorry about that, y'all. Looks like a reboot is in order. I will be back in a moment. Kind of hard to do a program with no copy. I'll be back in a moment. Stand by, please. Sorry about the silence. Never a dull moment. Well, that only took a couple of minutes. I hope everybody didn't go away. Don't know what's going on, but just crash, blue screen of death. Let's go back to Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Alter and just finish the clip, or at least see if we can.
Yeah. Half black. Father was white. Mother was black.
And
what did he say about her?
He met her parents and he told her that she got her beauty from her mom and her brains from her dad at the white side.
Yep, that's definitely the son of a Klansman right there, no doubt about it. And anybody who's surprised by that, well, yeah. And of course the maggots.
It never happened, I didn't know. It didn't happen.
And the backlash from the attack, well, it's not really backlash now, is it? But the maggot responses to the life-threatening attack, the assassination attempt on Paul Pelosi, continues. And, well, you know, it's like what Denny Green said many years ago. They are who we thought they were. This is so gross. This is just so disgusting. And now we're hearing from Arizona gubernatorial maggot Carrie Lake, who has a terrifying possibility of actually becoming governor of Arizona. You know Carrie Lake, the former TV talking head news anchor person who used to have drag queen parties at her house, but now is terribly, terribly upset about the drag queens. Yes. Well, she had to unburden herself of her thoughts on the attack on Paul Pelosi. Because, of course, she did. She was blathering on and saying, Nancy Pelosi, well, she's got protection when she's in D.C. Apparently her house doesn't have a lot of protection. She went on and said, if our lawmakers can have protection, if our politicians can have protection, if our athletes, then certainly the most important people in our lives, our children, should have protection. Oh, dear, where's this going? I'm speaking the truth. We can't talk about all these issues because the media has told us they're prohibited. You can't talk about vaccines. You can't talk about elections. You can't talk about Paul Pelosi now. You can't talk about Nancy Pelosi, and you can't talk about the elections, and you can't talk about COVID. And I'm talking about all those things because I still believe we have a little bit of the First Amendment left. Oh, Jesus, there's nothing quite so hilarious as a maggot complaining about being silenced while she won't shut her filthy gob. We've talked a lot about vaccines, about how vaccines save lives. But what dumbass here means is you can't say that a vaccine is horrible, 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 and then go on to say that, personally, you guzzle a pint of Badger antifungal medicine every morning, and it's protecting you against the Rona, and that you're wearing onions in your socks, and that you drink a pint of pee-pee every day, too. But the thing is, you can talk about that. It's just that people will know you're a goddamn moron when you do. You can't talk about elections. Well, yeah, we can talk about elections. We can talk about the fact that the election was the 2020 election was fair and square. It was announced. We all know this. It was declared to be the cleanest election in recent American history. But what she means is that she can't, with no evidence whatsoever, declare that the election was stolen. And no, it's probably just a matter of good taste that you don't say shitty things about somebody who's just been attacked by a dude wielding a claw hammer who was, a cue ball and a COVID idiot. I mean, it seems like Carrie Lake's comments were sort of negated by Dave DePape from Jump, because he talked a lot about Q and COVIDiacy. Bill the Bloody Crystal, who for some reason or another still has a job, even though he's been wrong about just about everything in his life up to Trump. Remember how much he got off on the illegal attack on the innocent people of Iraq? Remember that? Yeah. But he cited a Russian writer by the name of Dmitry Bykov, who said fascism is a physiological phenomenon that refers to the pleasure a person takes in allowing himself to break every moral law, divine or human. Bill Kristol went on and wrote, Carrie Lake takes that pleasure. Her audience shares that pleasure. And it's a true enough analysis. I mean, the short form of that is the cruelty is the point. Maggots enjoy cruelty. They are, in a word, sadistic. We know now that David DePape, that his primary plans for Nancy Pelosi were to start out, at the very least, start out by breaking her kneecaps. You know, that from the charges filed against David DePape, age 42, charged with attempted kidnapping and assault with intent to retaliate against a federal official by threatening or injuring a family member. San Francisco DA Brooke Jenkins also announced charges on behalf of the state of California: attempted murder, residential burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, false imprisonment of an elder, and threats to a public official and their family. The criminal complaint filed by the feds says Pelosi was asleep when DePape came into Pelosi's bedroom and stated he wanted to talk to Nancy. When Pelosi told him that Nancy was not there, DePape stated he would sit and wait. And yes, police said they recovered zip ties from the bedroom and from the hallway. They also found in DePape's backpack a roll of tape, white rope, one hammer, one pair of rubber and cloth gloves, and a journal. In his confession, DePape said he wanted to hold Nancy hostage and talk to her. And if Nancy were to tell DePape the truth, he would let her go. And if she lied, he was going to break her kneecaps. Now, the kneecaps thing was for a reason, because if he broke her kneecaps, he then thought she would have to come into the House of Representatives in a wheelchair, which would show other members of Congress that there were consequences. Jesus. And D.A. Jenkins went on to say, yes, this was politically motivated. Meanwhile, Paul Pelosi's undergone surgery to repair a skull fracture, as well as injuries to his right arm and hands. And the maggots are still having a high old time about it. Wow. Such a classy lot.
Right.
Oh, and do you remember, was it a year ago? Or was it within the last year that a maggot politician from Louisiana talking about the maternal mortality rate in the United States, which, by the way, more mothers having just given birth die in the United States per capita than in Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the truth.
The Louisiana maggot back then said, well, you know, if you factor out the black women, our maternal mortality rate ain't so bad. enter state member of the Ohio House of Representatives, the state House of Representatives, representing Bill Dean. And he's a helmet. He's a helmet haired SOB, a pasty faced old white dude. And he doesn't believe that there's really a maternal mortality crisis in the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe under God. Oh, no. Speaking to the Dayton Daily News, representing Dean, said,
I'm not a physician, but I would imagine a lot of times it's the lifestyle of the lady that's having the pregnancy.
I wonder if he considers pregnant 12-year-old girls ladies. That's just me.
We also have the most obese people in the whole world. It's just individual cases.
That was a follow-up, or a double-down, if you will, to what he told the Dayton Daily News back in October.
Oh, there's no great risk of dying from pregnancy, said the man who will never have to worry about being pregnant.
And he said,
and ectopic pregnancies, they don't count.
Huh? What? But this is a Republican talking point, of course. Ectopic pregnancies aren't really pregnancies, so when you take corrective action, it's not really an abortion. I mean, that's testimony that's been had by some babbling twit. Oh, I remember which babbling twit it is. It's the babbling twit who's married to Senator Josh Holland ass and works for a right-wing think tank. Or some right-wing fetus fetish organization. Of course, representing Bill Dean, he says ectopic pregnancies don't count, because if you can somehow figure out a way to get the ectopic pregnancies out of the numbers, ectopic pregnancies are the leading cause of maternal mortality during the first trimester of pregnancy in the United States. And by the way, according to the CDC, more than 80% of the pregnancy-related deaths in the United States are preventable. And they tend to arise as a result of high cost and limited access to broad-spectrum health care generally. And oopsie, because no surprise, pregnant people who are black are 3 to 4 times more likely to die of pregnancy-related causes than white people. And of course, it's also a fact that maternal mortality goes up the less access there is to abortion care. When they got around to asking representing Bill Dean about the 12-year-old pregnant girl there in Ohio, he said, well, why would you punish the child for rape? Let's be clear on this. When he said that, he wasn't talking about the 12-year-old. He was talking about the little popcorn-sized lump of tissue within the 12-year-old.
Why would you punish a child for rape?
God, they're awful. And getting his eugenics on, he went on to say that
Pregnancy is a natural thing that women are made for. That's the way God made them. The myth is that it is dangerous. It's no more dangerous than living every day.
Oh, representing Bill Dean. Sure wish you could get pregnant. And by the way, pregnant people who do get abortions, representing Bill Dean has declared that they are heathens. They're heathens. Heathens, I'm telling you. Heathens. His challenger, by the way, is an actual doctor. Dr. Jim Duffy. He's a retired pediatrician. Dr. Jim Duffy said, although most pregnancies are joyous occasions, pregnancy is a dangerous time for women. Maternal mortality will increase with the abortion ban. If a healthy young woman comes in, her fetus is at 18 weeks, and her water breaks, that fetus is unsalvageable. It will not survive. Currently, the only way to save her life is to wait until she's deathly ill. Dr. Duffy is not wrong. But there's something to delve deeper on here. Pregnancy is a natural thing that women are made for. Women are made to be pregnant. Seems to be that representing Bill Dean, well, that's a kind of bioessentialism that is downright dehumanizing. Can a woman be made for, to be an engineer? An astronaut? A doctor, a lawyer, an accountant? Nope! She was made to be pregnant. That's it. Just a little baby factory. And that basically is patriarchal culture. From about 7,000 years ago to the present day. I mean, I guess that's why there are ancient Abrahamic religions where the dude has to get up every morning and pray, thank God I was not born a woman, right? Curiously, there's no accompanying prayer where the woman says, thank God I was not born a man. One hopes that Dr. Duffy will defeat representing Bill Dean. I don't know, though. Because this is Merca. And we don't know that much about his constituency, except to say that the district he is in has probably been gerrymandered within an inch of its life to make sure that the Bill Deans of the world actually stay in the Ohio State House there in that city that should probably be renamed. Stop it, Agent Fred, said Lee in New York. We know Agent Fred's listening in, but he should not crash the computer. Or was it Bill Gates using 5G towers? I think it's just... This may just be a case of old age and too many tabs open. Matt observed, see? Computer death. Trump kills everything. Because I was kind of holding my breath there. We got to restart, and everything's good. Ron and Raleigh, with a couple of notes. White people don't understand racism. Just because a racist white man stoops a woman of color doesn't mean he ain't racist. Thomas Jefferson had children with Sally Hemings and he did not look upon those children as family members. They were still slaves. White men having black mistresses has been common for the duration of this country's existence. They're still winning.
You got your beauty from your mom. Your brains from your dad, you know, the white side.
And I'm sure he'll, at some point in time, he will deny it stupidly. And then we'll all know that it's absolutely the God's honest and unfly-blown truth. And back to the drag queens. Au contraire, Ron says, according to one white wing jagoff, you need to call drag queens transgender strippers. Well, see, I won't do that because I'm all about a certain amount of factual accuracy on this program. And I would guess probably 90% of the drag queens are gay guys. It's a fun performance art. But it's being used it's being used as a scourge to whip the trans community. Well, Lee, just because Darvon was banned in 2010, it doesn't mean that Miss Lindsay doesn't have an entire medicine cabinet full of it. Lee says, I was prescribed it in 1976. I was prescribed it in probably early 1994. After I broke my hand on someone. He richly deserved to have my hand broken up, but tried to put that all behind me. You just had to make me think about that, didn't you, Lee? Oh, wow, that just broke. That's sad. Did any of y'all, I'm sure a bunch of us did, see the movie Julie and Julia? Well, the Julie of Julie and Julia has passed away. She was only 49 years old. The cause was cardiac arrest. That's just sad. On from the Department of Darvon, Matt in San Francisco. Oh, sweet memories. Yeah, they were, the ones I had were like hot pink. Maybe it was a clue. Yeah, I still don't have a knuckle there on my right hand. I don't have a little finger top knuckle there. It's kind of. Yeah, they called it a boxer's fracture. Who knew? I remember them. It was real fun. I had no idea what they were. I thought they were just going to. But no, I took them and went to a court hearing. Good times. But, okay, so some sad news there. But this evening. And I'm going to fire up the Hulu for this. I don't know about y'all. But this evening on Hulu premieres the new documentary about the rise and fall of Cucky Jerry Falwell and Becca. Becca. You know, Becca would get it on with the pool boy while Jerry was sitting over there in a chair. One hand free, maybe a tennis ball and some duct tape. Nah, they probably sprung for the actual ball game. Yeah. What's it called? Fall from Grace or something? But that premieres on Hulu this evening, and I confess I want to see it. Just because, because it's going to be enjoyable. Probably should have just named it Schadenfreude. Sorry, says Lee in New York. It's my fault you mentioned Darvon. It's my fault that you needed it. Why would I be so mean? Signed Lee, making you remember regrettable stuff in New York City. Yeah, well, I've moved on. I mean, I think it's kind of weird that that's the same finger that fake fingernails don't want to stick to, but go figure. Where else? Oh my goodness gracious, we've got so much. The Taliban is at it again. They've issued a rule that teenage girls, young women have to wear the stupid beekeeper suit. And apparently women in Afghanistan don't like it any more than women in Iran do. No entry to universities for female students without a burqa. I think we can do without the stunning music. And then the Taliban beards came along and started whipping the women. Yeah. Oh, and yesterday and the day before, yesterday, we talked about the affirmative action case in which, pubes on the Coke can, Fappy Thomas said, "I don't even know what diversity means." And Sammy Bad Breath Alito got his indigenous hate on. Well, now we have audio from Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who demonstrated that she will brook no bullshit. Pretty good stuff, this.
So what I'm worried about is that the rule that you're advocating, that in the context of a holistic review process, a university can take into account and value all of the other background and personal characteristics of other applicants, but they can't value race. What I'm worried about is that that seems to me to have the potential of causing more of an equal protection problem than it's actually solving. And the reason why I get to that possible conclusion is thinking about two applicants who would like to have their family backgrounds credited in this applications process. The first applicant says, "I'm from North Carolina. My family has been in this area for generations, since before the Civil War, and I would like you to know that I will be the fifth generation to graduate from the University of North Carolina. I now have that opportunity to do that, and given my family background, it's important to me that I get to attend this university. I want to honor my family's legacy by going to this school." The second applicant says, "I'm from North Carolina. My family's been in this area for generations, since before the Civil War, but they were slaves and never had a chance to attend this venerable institution. As an African American, I now have that opportunity, and given my family background, it's important to me to attend this university. I want to honor my family legacy by going to this school." Now, as I understand your no race conscious admissions rule, these two applicants would have a dramatically different opportunity to tell their family stories and to have them count.
Oh, damn. She's going to be a force to be reckoned with. Without a doubt. That's going to be, she's not going to win any cases. She's going to be routinely in the minority. But I think she's serving notice that she is not going to just sit there and take it. That's some scholarly stuff. And it's thought-provoking. It won't matter to a racist like Sammy Bad Breath or Neil Go Freeze to Death in the Truck Gorsuch or Brat Kavanaugh or God knows the Handmaid. It matters less than nothing to Fappy Thomas. And, well, old Balls and Strikes is... Fappy has his balls in a bag in the freezer because Fappy is the de facto Chief Justice now because he controls 5 votes. But I hope, I do hope Ketanji Brown Jackson makes some squeal more than a little bit. On lately, we've been talking a bit about two-door Dixon because Michigan can't afford the four-door version. You remember two-door Dixon. She's the GOP, the maggot nominee for governor there in Michigan running against Gretchen Whitmer. Well, more stuff is coming out about two-door Dixon, the former softcore porn actress. Vice News discovered a podcast I'm sorry, this is Kristen Caramo, not Two Door Dixon. This is a different loon. She's running for Secretary of State. Christina Caramo said, if you go to the Satanic Temple website, they have an entire 5-minute video explaining why abortion is a religious ritual. They literally say it's a sacrifice. It's a religious ritual for them to have an abortion. It is sick. And as you mentioned, the baby body parts, they sell the organs. There's a ton of money involved in freshly harvested organs. There's so much evidence out there. It's only one problem. It's kind of like the heartbeat in that piece of soggy popcorn. There's no heart. No spleen, no liver, no lungs, no completely developed much of anything. But nonetheless, the cue balls are out there swearing that the elites, the global elites, are harvesting the adrenochrome and drinking the blood of young babies. All they're doing is repurposing the old anti-Semitic tropes and taking out the overt references to the Jews. Among other things, Christina Caramo also said that January 6th was Antifa posing as Trump supporters. And she's the nominee for the maggot party. She could wind up the Secretary of State of Michigan. And heaven help the Mariners if she is, because the 2024 presidential election in Michigan will be, this is a complex legal term, a lulu. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so that's the first hour. That's the filibuster. We got $100 to go to meet Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge. Our pal Max in California took care of 2/3 of that. If people would jump in and take care of the final third, well, that will leave us with only two. So 100 would be, we absolutely need to raise $100. It would be awesome if we could raise a total of 300 and be even for the very first day of November after being in a deficit coming out of October. Please and thank you in advance. And I haven't talked to Todd in quite a while. Hey, Todd, how are you?
Robbie.
Somebody's on the road.
Somebody's on the road, got you. Hey, can you hear me?
You're kind of in a barrel.
That's a Bluetooth, man. It's Halloween.
Yeah, Bluetooth. Yes, right. Yeah. Oh, that was yesterday. Today's, I get so confused, but today is All Souls and tomorrow's All Saints. I can't keep up.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Oh, much better. Much better. Thank you.
Yeah, the Bluetooth ain't that good. I mean, there's a lot of road noise. But oh, speaking of cars, and it's not my fault, but let me tell you something. I'm on my way back from the beach. Now, I got...
Yeah, wait. Did you just say you're on the way back from the beach?
Damn, Skippy.
Like right now you are?
Right, yup.
You know how to hurt a girl.
Listen, I'm going to hurt you more. Open that shit up. It's about to hurt... Look. Look, man, it was seven. When I left, it was rainy and cold. I packed all this cold weather gear. It get down to Myrtle Beach, and it's fucking subtropical. Alan, what the fuck? I had to go, made me go shopping. I had to, wouldn't make me, but anyway, I did buy a pair of shoes. But it was so nice. Oh, my God, I had breakfast out on the balcony. We had breakfast out about. I sent you some pictures of me and my better half. She had a blue wig on. But I'm headed back now. I got to buckle down, go to work, sober up. But so it was 141 miles from my abode to the destination at the beach. I burned up an eighth of a tank of gas.
Gas hog?
An eighth. Do you think I'm going back? Man, hybrids are the way to go. I'm just saying. There's fucking no way around it. Right, so I had to rub that in real good. I'm just saying. My next vehicle, man, I don't know. That new Bolt, they got the SUV Bolt. Because remember, GM had that wonderful EV1. Ed Begley knows about that.
Yeah.
But, Toyo, man, this is a full-size fucking vehicle, man. That's crazy. Like literally, I got, like...
Well, what size is your tank?
It's not that large. It's less than 16 gallons. I have to look at the manual again. I was very impressed with that. And I didn't go faster than 70. The key is not to speed too much. It's like life. You have oxygen. You can drive. I mean, there's no point in driving fast and getting tickets. But, you stay within your little window. And, like, right now, all right, I'm burning fuel.
So when you say an eighth of a tank, you're talking about burning about, tops 2 gallons.
Okay, I'll put it like this. It costs, the gas here, when I filled up, it was like $3.19 a gallon. I filled up, and that was like it was less than $40. It was way less. It was like $35, maybe, to fill a tank up. And then of that, I burned, going 141 miles, an eighth of a tank. And I got around a little over 40-some miles to the gallon, which may not sound great, but that means I'm doing, sometimes I'm doing 100, sometimes I'm doing 80, sometimes I'm doing 50. That's not like right now I'm doing 80, and right now it's burning, it's got two motors, so both are kicking in right now as I talk, because you can tell by the gauges. That's why I say I drive by the gauges, it's on cruise. But at any rate, this is the way to go. This is the future. That's why Biden has done, the Biden administration has really, that whole fleet vehicle deal, that means a lot. Because that forces manufacturers to do right now. Because you got that damn government contract, you got to produce. You see? But it's just, and it ain't that expensive. It pays for itself in a year. That extra $1,000 you might pay. There's even a Tahoe. You can get a hybrid Tahoe. So I'm just saying. But speaking of bad breath, when I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror, and apparently my breath was able to melt the glass in the room. And so we had to call maintenance. And it was an awful thing.
Wait, what?
My breath was so bad, it melted the damn glass.
What, did you get the new garlic certs or something?
I must have. Who knows, man? I don't know. I had been drinking. I went, something told me, it's like I'd go by my gut. Something told me to go to the liquor store. I had not really been drinking much liquor. And they had to sell all kinds of stuff. So I just stocked up, and everybody, we're just drinking all this damn liquor. And I don't usually drink liquor at all, but they had all kinds of this espresso stuff. It's quite tasty. Especially, you know.
Did y'all have you a bottle of that that peanut butter flavored bourbon?
that was classic. I know what you mean.
I mean, I can't. I don't do much of that anymore. I don't do much of that anymore anyway. But peanut.
They're doing.
And the other, anything, you can put any flavor in bourbon, and there is some idiot out there that will buy it.
But that fucks up. I mean, the whole point is it's supposed to taste like bourbon. That's the whole fucking point. You know, you're making me yell. You put my blood pressure up.
I have a way. But no, really. Peanut butter bourbon. The other one I saw, and this one really, are we kidding? Banana flavored bourbon.
Oh, see, that's some onion shit, man. What the fuck?
It's real. Oh. I like to get a bottle of sake every now and then, and popped in there, and there it was, right there at the counter. Several cases of it stacked up, and the guy said they can't even keep it in there. Banana bourbon.
They can't keep it in.
No, it flies out the door.
Jesus.
I can't even contemplate the hangover that must come with that.
Oh, I know, right?
Or the peanut butter bourbon. And you got people out there now mixing the peanut butter bourbon with the Chambord to make a peanut butter and bourbon jelly shooter, whatever, what? But it does, I only mentioned it because it's...
you're making me vomit, man. Stop it.
It sounds like a very stupid thing to do at the beach, and people do stupid things at the beach, so...
Oh, I was at the Irish bar last night. Because the World Series was supposed to happen, but it didn't.
No, it didn't. So which beach did you go to? Go ahead and just finish the job. Just hurt me.
Myrtle Beach.
Ah.
Yeah, it was very...
Did you see any West Virginians while you were there? I mean, that's the home beach.
Oh, you have a reputation.
That's the home beach of West Virginians. West Virginians have never heard of Hilton Head. Never heard of Kiowa, never heard of the Outer Banks, never heard of the Gulf Coast. We go straight to fucking Myrtle.
And
it's only 5 hours. It's only 5 hours.
There's a coworker I have, and he has a place down there, right? And he keeps like a camper down there, a nice camper. And he was telling me about these mugs from you people, West Virginia.
You people, like, yes.
He said, Maya, you know, I can't, I love saying that, I swear. I just, shoot, man, that's like eating a crepe, man. Or that's like a croissant with bacon and cheese, saying you people. It's just.
Something kind of satisfying about it.
So he's telling me, because, you know, he has the same spot. Like, he keeps it down there. He can escape. And he ain't worried about no money. I don't know what he does. He got too much shit. I don't know what he does. But, Anywho, so he tell me about these West Virginians that come down there. He's like, shit, hot. He's like kind of on the little, he's not redneck, but, you know, he's close. Well, you know, but he's like, God, look. And it took us a long time to really, like, talk. Cause I, you know, but anyway, he's like, God, yo, these guys from West Virginia, these big dudes, they come down there and they wear Speedos and cowboy boots on the beach. I mean, he's serious. I'm like, damn, that's fucked up. He's like, yeah. He's like, they're so drunk, they don't even know what. I was like, no. And he showed me pictures. I'm like, oh, shit. That's fucking crazy. Man, you people got some shit, man. And then they fly their flag. They'll fly the West Virginia flag and shit.
Oh, we take our flag with us.
So speaking of bad breath, how is it that we have a Supreme Court justice who, I mean, first of all, does he not read the newspaper? Does he not understand that most Americans are, like, not really confident in the Supreme Court, regardless of your political inclination? It's like nobody, like, likes the shit they do right now. How can he say, Sammy Bad Breath, I, what do you mean by diversity? What the fuck?
Oh, no, that was, no, I don't know what diversity means. That was Fappy Thomas.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you for correcting me. Well, that didn't fucking work. Oh, Jesus. That motherfucker, listen, his fucking bitch-ass wife, let me tell you something. That motherfucker needs to step down now. How come nobody's attacking his house? He's a fuck-up. I mean, he's sketchy from fucking day one. What the fuck? It's a fucking weird ass wife, man. My God. He needs to recuse himself from 98.99999% of cases.
But he ain't gonna, because nobody can make him. Ha!
It's not funny. I'm laughing, but that's just fucked up. And I'm glad Ketanji is gonna be like, you know what? I'm gonna give a fuck. I'm gonna say what I gotta say. We need that.
Yeah, and she's going to say it in very lawyerly, precise terms, so that she can get the barb in nice and deep into the pink and tender part.
Well. Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you think that she, like, if you were playing football, you know how sometimes you got a runner that or a blocker that will spearhead and get people out of the way? Is she going to, like, break ground so people can, like, act sanely, and she's going to just be the trailblazer and they can follow, like, her lead?
You know, I hope she makes it miserable for those six fuckers to ever go to work every day. Oh, she's going to beat our ass again. She's going to show us up for who we are. Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, I got a note from Matt in San Francisco. You said electric's the future. I love my Bolt, Matt says. Just got the battery replaced because of a recall, so basically a new motor for a car with 50,000 miles on it. It's a beautiful thing to not have to be concerned with the price of gas. That it is.
See? It really is. And the maintenance, you know, there's less maintenance. Apparently, even with a hybrid, the brakes last longer because, I mean, if you've got the kind of hybrid that recharges when you hit the brakes.
Yeah, regenerative braking.
Correct. I mean, yes. Yeah, you know, there's just no way around it. I don't understand how people are like, oh, he's not being American. You know, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, we got to burn fossil fuels or we ain't American.
Yeah, I mean, literally, that is how a lot of people think.
Well, it is. I mean, we're being smartasses, but
You know, I kind of like a smell of gasoline every now and then. I'll open up my gas can. I'll open up my gas can and take a big whiff, and the next thing you know, I just feel all calm and relaxed.
And they probably sneak around and make dip their whole hand until it can get some extra lead in their system.
It's unleaded now, damn it. Don't be spreading lies.
That's true. But they can wish. They can wonder.
Oh, I just ran across, and this is totally apropos of nothing, but we haven't food porned in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And our buddy John in North Dakota posted a link to an article about Kaneka sausage over on the Horn webpage, the Facebook mm-hmm. page. I had never seen these numbers before, but this blows my mind. Get this. On any given day, the Kaneka sausage factory down in Evergreen, Alabama, puts out somewhere between 30 and 40,000 pounds of sausage every day. Can you
every day?
Now, while you were there gallivanting and cavorting and gavotting and whatnot at the beach, you should have had you some Kaneka with you to grill over an open fire.
You know, you're right. I slept the first day. I started drinking and went to sleep because I needed some.
Been known to happen. Where did you send me these pictures? I've looked.
Oh, you didn't see them?
Uh-uh.
I sent them.
You sure you weren't drinking?
Well, I'm sure I was drinking.
You may not. You may have sent them to somebody else.
Uh oh. Oh shit!
Because I checked the two email addresses I've got for you.
That's not good. Damn. I could have fucked up. Yep, I could. Hey, well, like I said, I don't drink liquor that much. That's, you know, I should put the phone away. Oh, that's not good. Oh, my baby had a blue. She has a blue wig on. She looks beautiful.
Oh, well, you know what? That's interesting you'd mention that. Out there in maggot world and men's rights world and MGTOW world and incel world, nothing drives them crazier than a girl with bright blue hair.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they lose their shit.
Why is that?
Well, it means that they don't have traditional American femininity.
Shoot. You look at her, you'd be like, uh-huh.
Well, that's not an issue for me. I mean, I figure people can have whatever color hair they want.
Well, that's the fight. It's fun. I mean, that's the whole, I'm thinking about dyeing my beard, you know, like red once in a while. But, I'll resend them. They went to somebody else. I had to check my phone. That's my phone. But they'll get over it. There was nothing nasty, so. I'm worried about our country because.
You got a right to be, and I mean. Today is a week from the election. By this time next week, we may be on air talking about all the things that the asshole maggots did. The people that they beat, the people that they assaulted, the people that they machine gunned for all. And I mean, it could happen.
But they're okay with it.
Well, they're past okay with it. That's what they want. They want to impose their will on the people of this country by force if necessary.
Well,
and remember, they're not a majority. That's why they have to make plans for what to do if they lose.
See, that's why I was calling Trump like the way back, you know, a MILF. The manly old fascist.
That was not what MILF was supposed to mean.
I know, but he, you know, he adopted that. I gave him that moniker because it fit. You know, it just like all the acronym, you know, mentally old fashioned. Now look at him. I mean, my God, what the fuck? It doesn't matter what he does, like top secret information. And they're still trying to make an excuse for that. Like, what does it take?
I mean, I'm kind of licked on this one.
See? I mean, damn. I mean, look. Liz Cheney, and you know, I heard, of course, C-SPAN. It might have been either it was a caller or a guest. It might have been I don't know which it was. It was somebody who sounded very educated, erudite. What was the guest that said, you know, think about it. Now, here's Liz Cheney, and she's endorsing Democrats. And, okay, that's one thing because, you know, apparently, you know, that's how she feels. But think about where she is positioned because she has seen material and evidence that we're not allowed to see. So she knows shit we don't know. That is a short talk. She knows shit.
I think you're right.
And that has alarmed her to the point where she's like, oh, fuck this shit. I'm sorry I have to curse so much, but it makes me feel bad.
No, you're among home folks. It's okay.
But did you see my point here?
I absolutely do.
And that carries some weight. Like she was voting with Trump most of the time. She's a diehard Republican. But she's like, oh my God, no. No, no, no. Even Mitch McConnell. They want to censure his ass. But, you know, but you know what? That's what the people want. They like fascism. The Deep South likes fascism. Middle America likes fascism. They might not know what it is. They don't know what it means, but they like it.
Well, if it makes the trains run on time, right?
If it makes the train and it keeps
okay.
Them brown.
Who am I kidding? We don't have any trains. But you get the idea.
Yeah. If it keeps the gas prices low, I don't care how many ovens we have to build.
And you're not supposed to talk about Hitler in 1938, but whatever. I mean, and now you got all these fucking Russian sympathizers like, oh, they helped us in World War II. I don't, you being too hard on Putin. Like, what? Like, are you fucking, what is your fucking problem? You know, they were on our side for like 10 seconds. You know, and then that shit evaporated. So, you know, I don't know what website you people are on, but get the fuck off. So, we just, I don't know, man. We gotta. Well, since you brought it up, food porn. So, after you get your avocados, like we all like, most of us like guacamole. And I don't know if this is.
I love me some guacamole.
Well, you know how we talk about that window of opportunity when you get that nice bag of the ugly avocados?
Yeah, baseball, 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 baseball. Okay, rotten.
Rotten. But they're a lot cheap, you know, they eat them when they're ready. But I'm top man. Look here, lady. That complete saison, we don't have to do the Padilla brand because you know how they are. They're Bolsonaro. Oh, Bolsonaro lost. Fucking good news.
Yeah, but they've had his maggots da Brasil have been blocking highways and trying to manifest, you know, their unwillingness to see Bolsonaro go. He did say he still will not concede the race,
But he says that he will allow the transition to go forward. You know, until he like tries to have Da Silva, you know, unalived.
So see, if I were in Brazil, I'd be like, Bolson, just to mess with him. But like, oh, you're pro trans, huh?
Pro transition, yes.
I saw that.
Trust me, Brazil is another place where it's horrible to be trans.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I saw those pictures, man. You know how Brazil is. I mean, those roads, like, you block some of those roads up, man. You're clogging shit up. It's different. They don't have, other places don't have that kind of highway system. Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of places. It's like West Virginia. You got one place in, one place out, two or three at the most. And when that road is messed up, then you just can't go anywhere. That's the way it is. He's an evil fucker. But so back to the avocados, that complete saison, you can get whatever brand you want. But that and a little bit of mayonnaise, just a tiny bit, and some of that tahine, that Mexican seasoning with the chili and lime.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, my God. Will you mix that together? Oh, my goodness. That's some good, man. It doesn't even make it. It doesn't, like, there's no, by the time you make it, you start eating it, it's like, oh, let me taste it, make sure it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You keep eating it. It's okay. Oh, nothing wrong.
Oh, it's gone. Yeah, because you're supposed to make it and set it in the fridge with the cling wrap down on the surface so it doesn't brown up, and you let it sit there and right. You let all the flavors marry. But no, right. You sit there and you just eat it before the flavors even have a chance to get engaged.
Wow, it is so delicious. Oh.
And now I don't know if you found it, but that the tahine sauce. They make a version called chamoy, tahine chamoy, and it's got peach in it.
Get out.
Oh, it's some kind of good.
Damn, it's got that sweet, sweet and fruity.
Oh, I discovered it a couple of months ago, and I'm sold.
Man, that sounds good. Well, it's getting to be barbecue season now.
It's cooling off enough for you. It's getting too. Yeah, I think I might have one good smoking left in me. You know, before the weather just becomes hateful.
Oh, the rainy season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's encroaching.
Oh, Christopher in Oregon just wrote in, guac, mayo. I can hear Tracy screaming from here. Mayo and guac. I think that's a capital offense in Mexico. I bet you it's not, Christopher.
Just a little bit.
Because it's like, have you ever bought the Knorr French onion and onion soup mix and made French onion dip with that? Most people just mix it with sour cream. No. If you mix it two-thirds sour cream and one-third mayonnaise, you get a much better dip.
Yep. It carries the flavor. Mayonnaise carries flavor. I mean, it's just...
Well, and because it's an emulsion, it also creates a greater smoothness.
It's creamy, right. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's just... I can't imagine making that without... It doesn't take a lot. You don't have to overdo it, but you don't need to do anything, but I think that a little bit, and I like to, I get the mayonnaise now. Well, I get two types. If I'm making a big thing of potato salad or something, I'll get the big jar, but the squeeze, the kind you can squeeze out, you know, like the upside down ketchup jar, that's the way to go. Because remember, once you stick something in that mayonnaise jar, you break it. It's called breaking. And that'll make
you you're right. Salad.
I learned that in the restaurants. The chefs taught me that. And so you're better off just like letting it plop out, like shake it, just let it plop out. Because no matter how clean you think you are, there's yeast in the air. There's stuff. It's like a petri dish. So just food for thought.
folks.
Well, Randy Radar just jumped in and said, try avocado with the Walmart Zesty Italian dressing on it. Now, I can imagine that would be good.
Huh.
My very favorite way to do avocados, though, I picked up several years ago in Texas, and that's to split it, and then you score it into, like, little cubes, and you make a mixture of, like, crab meat and a little bit of like melty cheese. You fill the hollow with that.
That sounds really good.
You fill the hollow with that. You put a little pico on top of it, and then hit it with the panko breadcrumbs and run it under a broiler. Woof. And then you take it out and you give everybody a half an avocado, and you just sit there and scoop it out with a spoon. Woo.
That sounds good. That sounds delicious. Oh, my God, the governor is here. I don't know what he's doing in town.
Wait,
oh
McGovernor's there? Oh, you're screwed.
Yeah, hey, you know, he doesn't talk like that in real life. Oh, my God, they're all in fucking front of my workplace. Oh, my, and I was beeping the horn, you know.
Don't beep. They'll come after you.
Oh, my God, somebody's smoking some good shit. I smell it. Damn.
Probably McGovernor.
Yeah, I know, right? Somebody got that butter, boo. Wow. Man, I got some shit from California.
Yeah, I saw a story the other day where McGovernor said, we have to let the homos marry right now because it's the law, but if the chance ever comes up, we'll be making them homo marriages illegal because marriage is between one man and one woman.
A woman, like a wombat?
One man and one woe, man.
He does not talk like that. He does that for votes. He doesn't talk like
that. Well, sure. Same thing with John Kennedy down in Louisiana, Stan.
These people are funny. I don't know what to say. But I know Tracy doesn't like mayonnaise. But I mean,
oh, no, she's pissed. I already got a message. And Tamara just said, I've heard Todd's argument, and I think mayo in the guac is a crime in Southern California. We do add crema sometimes, though, and sometimes squash.
Oh, butternut squash.
Mm. Oh, my dear friend who runs the Thai food truck did a pork stir fry with butternut squash this past Sunday.
Woo!
Oh, it's magic. Magic. A little bit of curry.
Ugh.
I know.
That's just delectable. Well, I'm quite sure you're going to meet your goal tonight. I'm already...
Well, in fact, it's interesting you should say that because I need to send thanks out to Mark in Brooklyn. Thank you, Mark. We are now... The challenge has been met, and we are... only $200 away from being completely caught up with October's deficit and then what we needed to do for today. So we're $200 away from that. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, Mark and Max made it possible for Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge to be met. So that means that our pal Chris and our pal Ralphs and an anonymous friend will double all of that. So that's amazing.
Yeah, you're going to make it.
Oh, and you were talking about going to the beach. I got a little bit of a road trip planned.
Mm-hmm.
Next weekend. They're screening at a film festival over in Charlottesville, which is only 3 hours from me. They're screening that documentary I've been talking about for months and months and months and months. Devil Put the Coal in the Ground. And so I'm going to go over to Charlottesville and because I watched it, you know, I just watched it on my iPad. And it just blew me away. And now this thing is screening at film festivals in Poland, in Austria,
It's all over the country. It's absolutely amazing. And I'm going to get to go. I'm going to go in because I want to. This is the closest it's been to me, so I want to run over there and see it on the big screen. And it'll be a little wide. It'll be a little bit odd to watch, you know, me or somebody that I used to be on a big screen. That's never happened for me before.
Oh, so you're interviewed.
Oh, I'm all over it. Yeah.
Damn, man, that's crazy. Wow, are you going to cry?
I hope not. I shouldn't. I mean, I'm happier now than I was then. I think I'll be a little stunned, and I may have a date.
Uh-oh. Don't tell Annette.
No, no, she knows. No, but, you know, all depends on if he shows up.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because I'd like to be escorted into the film.
Well, you know, life is short. Honest to God, we're in our late 50s, man.
Todd, I will be 60 in 2 months. Okay, three. I will be 60 in 3 months. Which is kind of wild when you think that I started this whole thing when I was 40. There's a whole chunk of my life wrapped up in this little program. Old and new.
The first time I heard you. Yeah, you know, and I remember the first time I listened, and I remember the first time I called in. But I remember the first time I listened, I was like, damn, It's like, wait, how come there's not more of this out there? Like, you know, this person is making a lot of sense. Oh, somebody stole my fucking mail. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Made it home, did you?
Yeah. Yep. Made it home. Let's see if I got robbed or not. I got a brand new bike. Oh, I got a nice bike. I got a nice bike.
Oh, how cool. You got good trails for riding over there?
Oh, yeah. The city opened up. Yeah, it's very nice. Really nice. Damn. Yeah, big giant. Like, I have a Trek, but the Trek was getting older. But everything's here. That's good. Yeah, but this giant, man, this is another step up. I was saving up. I had to save up. You know, it wasn't cheap. It's like buying a used car.
Now, did you say it's a Trek?
No, I have a Trek, but this is a giant. So I have two.
Ooh.
The Trek is like, I've had the Trek for, 20 years probably.
But I wish we had more, but we have some bicycle friendly trails around here, but I'm not into that uphill and down dale. mountain biking, you know, pedaling through the ruts and the crags and shit. I just want to ride on a nice, clean little trail.
Well, that's nice too. And you know, there's something for everyone. It's like, I like the trails where you can do both, because sometimes you're not in the mood, because you have to concentrate, because you can, when you have broken ribs, you can fall and have a bad day. You know, you miss a turn or don't turn when you should be turning. That shit happened to me in Philly, man. I fell about 50 feet down this ravine, almost into the river. And my friends, I was in this damn thorn bush. My friends pulled me up. I was like, oh, thank God I was drunk. It didn't hurt that bad.
What a great line. Wait a minute. There's my cowbell. Thank God I was drunk. It didn't hurt that much.
It's the truth. I mean, and the next day was a different story, but I was able to continue on the escapade. This is the new generation, man. It's got the big, you know, the vet tires and it's just like smooth, man.
It's very, I mean, you can ride all day. Like, I used to do 30 miles a day when I was really...
Do you get one of them fancy ones with the power assist? Those are really interesting.
It's not that. No, this is all human powered. But yeah, they're interested. They're out there. They're getting more popular. People in town have those. A lot of people. Because they build a battery into the body of the frame. And people are doing it. I mean...
I think it's nice really cool.
I do too. I just.
You know, oh, and by the way, Billable great. Rick said, "Hey, y'all, stop talking about how old you are. I just turned 60. Damn it! No. You just turned 60. Yay! It not turning 60 would be the shitty part of it. Billable, come on, the glass. You can do it. You can do it. The glass is half full.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You got to do what makes you see. You are so much. You know, you're much more happy. You're much happier now that you are who you're supposed to be. And, you know, people need to be who they're supposed to be. And people need to tell their truth. And the more people that do that, the better off this world will be. Because when people don't tell their own truth, it, in my opinion, what it does is that it makes them bitter and it clouds. It gets in the way even when you're at work because they're just angry, nasty, bitter people. Because this shit is fucked up. You see, personally, and they bring their baggage to work. Well, if you're well adjusted, you know, whatever that may be.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And by the way, we kind of made Micah's skin crawl a little bit ago. She said, "Please don't ever do that voice again." You know, the McMaster, the McGovernor voice.
Governor, I like my grits hot and creamy. Just like my wife.
Yeah, I saw some post the other day, and I responded to it. I like my men like I like my cigars, silent and silent and smoking.
Woo! Oh God! You know that's gonna sound nasty, but when you know, I don't know, it's disgusting when they make cigars, but boy, that when you get a good cigar. If you like bourbon and cigars, they really go together. God dog it.
Scotch and cigars. I'll fight you.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take it. I like Dewar's White. That's low level, but I like it. And you look, and it just tastes good, man. It's just nice, especially when you don't smoke anymore. It's just like you can appreciate the.
Well, see, that's what scares me. I have not had a cigar since well before I last had a cigarette. So. I kind of don't want to put my nicotine sobriety at risk, or my smoking sobriety, whatever we call it.
I understand what you mean. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's all, I mean, people have never quit, like, because I love smoking cigarettes. Oh, my God, I loved it. But when you stop, it's just it's freed up. It's just like, oh, what was I doing?
Well, see, I'm about to start a new phase of my existence, if that's even a phrase, because I'm, well, 8 days from now will be 1 year since the day my life changed forever and for the better, anniversary of my surgery. And I've been very gentle to myself this entire year, and I've not made a lot of demands on my physical being. But, you know, party's over. It's time to get in the gym. It's time to just do it, build some strength.
You healed up enough? You feel like you healed up enough?
Oh, yeah, I'm healed. I'm healed.
That's some radical stuff, man.
And so it's time to start getting in shape and working on things and being a little happier with me all the way around.
You know, the fact that you were able to share with everyone, you know, your journey, man, that's some crazy shit. Yeah. Yeah,
I look back on it, and I'm sorry if I bore people. I apologize. I'm amazed. I look back on it from time to time, and it's like, holy crap,
I was back on the air within 2 weeks of massive major surgery.
You love it. You were like, I have a special pillow, and you would like.
And broadcasting from Cleopatra's chaise longue on the barge, the Nile barge. There were some rough evenings. And early on, I scared the hell out of myself. I didn't really talk that much about it, but I was on the verge of taking my ass back to the hospital.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was scary. Let's just say scary. No, I don't want to TMI the family community congregation. We'll just say it was scary. I busted a couple of stitches. Because there was one evening that I just sat there in the chair, and I refused to get on the couch or anything. I just sat there on my little cushion on a chair and did the whole program, and a little bit later I was like, is this supposed to be like this? But everything worked out.
You started. Okay, never mind. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, I didn't miss much time at all.
You didn't. And then when you got back, you were like, I'm here. And then people are like, oh, you're all right.
So I'm gonna go over and get on the treadmill, and I don't know, the elliptical, or maybe the rowing machine, whatever, and just get myself in a little bit better shape.
Well, I mean,
flatten things that ought to be flat and round out things that ought to be round.
Now, I'm gonna tell you something. You will not go wrong if you invest in a good jump rope, like the kind that has the plastic inserts. Gym class when we were around our age.
Wait, good what?
Yeah. Well, the rope is made.
Oh, jump rope, yeah. No, I'd wind up. This house is so old. If I tried to do that, I'd wind up going through the floor. Probably scare the children.
No, you got to do that outside. You got to go outside with that.
But and remember, English major, total klutz. I'd probably break a bone the first time I tried to jump the rope. I ain't no boxer doing that over and under and skipping back and forth shit and clacking and clacking and clacking and clacking. I cannot do it. Are you kidding me?
It's fun. If I could do it, you could do it. Come on. It's not that hard. You just have to focus. You know, because you're my height. You're like 6'3", 6'2", right?
Nah, 6'1". Hoping to get down to 6.
Hoping to
No, it happens. The transition does that. You can lose a little bit of height, and I'm praying for every inch I can lose. Done lost a shoe size.
Well, then you had to buy new shoes anyway.
I'm always on the lookout. See, that's the thing. I need to get down to an 11 because that's where the cute shoes end.
You know,
the things I've learned.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Burlington and Marshall, well, not Marshall's that much anymore, but Burlington, man, that's the place to go. Like, they have real shoes. Like, you got to go every day because it's stock.
Yeah, see, I don't have any one of those. I don't even know if there's one of those in Charleston. There's a Marshall's. There's a Marshall's. Got a TJ Maxx in Beckley.
Yeah, well, we have to, let me see. You got Maxway?
No, never heard of that. Oh, by the way, I've been awarded a cowbell by Billable Rick. This house is so old, I'd go through the floor. That wasn't a joke, Billable.
That's why I didn't laugh, because I know.
And the frighten the children part was written. Mommy, is there a giant coming to attack the house? No, honey.
Boom, boom, boom. And then the splinters, it's a mess.
That's just Opa trying to exercise in the back. Make her stop.
Oh. Hey, how are your grandkids doing?
You pretty good. Pretty good. Little Junie will be 6 months in 5 days. And they're dealing with some crud right now, but they'll get better. And
I enjoy every day of watching them grow up. It's magic. Absolute magic.
That's nice. Well, I just, I'm getting ready to watch, getting ready for this game, I guess, because, you know, I have to say this, Citizens Bank Park, like, this is our season, man. The fucking, the Eagles, I gotta stop cursing. The Eagles are, they're unstoppable right now. They just do what the hell they want to do, and everybody's gonna get out the way. And the Phillies, we'll see what they do. But that park, like, I remember when they built it and it was free. Everybody in the city to come see it. It is wide open. The field of vision is beautiful. I mean, it's just amazing. And then Lincoln Financial Field, it's so large and tall. Like, when you're on 95 going through there, because 95 is an elevated highway through that area.
Right.
It is massive. I mean, like, you look, it's like, damn. If you're in the top seats, man, you're like, oh, I don't know. That's 15 stories high. It's something else. And it was a big, like, we wanted the ballpark. A lot of us wanted, I wanted it downtown, like in Chinatown. But, you know, there was a lot of, they already had taken people's houses and stuff in Chinatown. But they made the right decision. I guess that was the right thing to do. Just put it back down there in South Philly where it's got, you know, it can spread out. Because it's like an old-timey, you know, baseball park. And, you know, it is, and I don't know. I'm not really into baseball except for the, you know, when you get down to the playoffs. So that's everybody.
Oh, then, yeah, that, right, exactly. And yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for the Phils. I'm a National League girl. I was raised a National League.
Cheater. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I knew what you were. Yeah, they cheat. Oh, by the way, Billable Rick says tall women seem to want to lose inches in height. Men simply want to keep their inches and add to it. I knew somebody was going to do that. I knew somebody was, there was going to be some guy out there that, yeah, absolutely. Okay, Billable. Size 13, Matt in San Francisco says, I hate shoe shopping. The display will be so cool and sleek, and then when they bring it out in my size, it looks like an, oh my God, Matt, yes. I've been hurt. Size 13. I hate shoe shopping. The display will be so cool and sleek, and then when they bring it out in my size, it looks like a 1969 Impala.
Oh, shit. Damn, a boat.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and the funny thing is, it's the damnedest thing. If it says it's, if in like normal sizes, 7, 8, it's got a 3-inch heel. By the time they get to 13, it's got a 5-inch heel. It's like, why? I ordered a pair of thigh-high suede boots last year. Cute as could be, 3-inch heel. I can manage a 3-inch heel. I got it. No. I know strippers who couldn't walk in those boots. And you know what? I found out the hard way. You cannot DIY saw the heels down. You can't do it. You're not going
to... Oh, you'll fuck your back up quick.
You're not going to get them even.
Yeah, you'll be at the chiropractor in no time short.
And the way they're cut, you can't take the heels off either because that's just all screwed up. Oh, but I want to go back to something Matt said earlier about electric cars and his Bolt. It really is a better way to drive. You know, once people drive an electric car, they'll understand it's all torque available immediately, so when you need to accelerate quickly, it zooms immediately. The maintenance is almost nothing. Tires are the only thing I've replaced. The only maintenance is the brakes. It's just less expensive, more efficient to get around, and it also teaches you have to drive to get the most miles to a charge, which basically means not driving like an asshole. So that's a side benefit. We could have better highway etiquette out of all this.
The pushback is just not, it's not grounded in logic. And like the folks, I'll bring these pro petrol people in, get people rides, and they're like, oh, it's so quiet. I'm like, well, what did you think? Of course it's quiet. And, you know, because we're doing like, you know, 30 miles an hour. This is all battery right now. You know, and the engine will, you know, gas part will kick in a little bit, but, you know, that's what happens. And like, you know, it's like 6-speed. Mine is a 6-speed. So you can slap it. It's got that, you can turn it into a manual when you feel like it. And you, man, you zoom. You take,
now, okay, let me ask you. Do you, then this is, do you have that CVT, the continuously variable transmission?
Absolutely.
You like it?
I love it. I got no problem with it.
Okay.
Because, yeah, and once you drive for a while, you can feel it. Because, well, it took me a while to break the motor in, because I don't know whoever, I got it, you know, I was pre-owned. But it didn't have any miles on it at all. But if you, then once again, that's why I say I look at the gauges. You know, that, and you can feel when it's about to kick in. And, you know, leave it in sport for a while and charge the batteries up. But then on the highway, sometimes you want to put it in eco when the batteries are fully charged. And it's just, I can't see going back at all, period. I'll never go back, ever, 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 ever. And it's weird. I get better miles in the city, you know, when I'm doing a speed limit. Sometimes, like the other day, I had a 3-mile trip. I got 70-some miles to gallon. You know, I mean, it's only 3 miles, but I mean, I routinely get 50. And that's
you know, a beautiful thing.
Full size car? It is a full size car, like a real, not, it's not a Prius, which I got nothing against Prius. That's the thing, you can get a used Prius for like $10,000, $12,000. You know, but I'm serious, man. I'm getting, look, the next thing I get is going to be the pickup truck or a Tahoe.
Oh, I want a hybrid. Hybrid SUV, or if I can ever get that, if they ever make that Hyundai Santa Cruz in a hybrid, I want that.
Mm.
But see, it's a little different. It's a little different story for you where you live with a hybrid than it is for me here.
In what way?
Weather-wise, and the demand, and the demands on the demands on the motor.
Cold weather, it doesn't, I mean, and I'll be honest, it tell the difference when it gets cold out. The batteries don't like that. They don't, I mean, it'll function fine, but it just, you don't get the same efficiency when it's bitterly cold.
Right, and it and we do get that.
Oh, yeah, you do. In the hills. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all, and plus, I mean, the only thing I can use is regular gas. I'm not supposed to put, you know, premium fuel in. It's got to be 87, which is okay. It's just, and the rear seats fold down. I can fit all my lawn equipment in. Like when I go and do the lawn around the corner, I can put my weed eater, my.
Oh, and Micah just told me they make a hybrid in the Ford Maverick, which I'm. That really is exciting, because that's got that's got a truck bed and four doors.
Wait a minute, the Maverick that's an old
that was the old ugly Ford from the late 1970s. Yeah, they repurposed the badge, or they repurposed the make, and now it's like the old Ford Ranchero.
I had no idea.
Yeah, a car that looks like a truck.
Wow. I had no idea. I spent a lot of my teenage years in a Maverick. My buddy had a Maverick. We did some crazy.
Yeah, Mike is telling me they were actually marketed to be an affordable hybrid for people to buy their first cars. Because, you know, if we're gonna move toward an electric vehicle future, it has to become affordable. Everybody, you know, and I was about to say, everybody can't afford a Tesla. You could not give me a Tesla at this point in time.
No, that cat.
You could not give me a jump rope made by Elon Musk.
Oh, fuck. I mean, yeah, he's
no, you can say fuck Elon Musk. You can say that. He ain't bought this. He ain't bought the horn yet. Motherfucker.
I got no time for him.
Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah, he's showing.
And I guess I guess he showed up for Halloween in a Satan costume.
Okay.
Did you catch that?
No, but that's disgusting.
He wore a, you know, because cultural appropriation means nothing to him. I was watching some old Tony Bourdain episodes the other night, and there was one where he went and was entertained by a geisha, and of course, you know, geishas are not hookers, and you know, no. And they're entertainers par excellence. And I said, ooh, you know, it'd be kind of fun next year for Halloween to be a geisha. And then I thought, no, I can't do that. That's cultural appropriation. That'd be awful. Well, guess what? Elon Musk showed up in a goddamn samurai suit of armor yesterday. It's listed online as the Devil's Champion Leather Armor Set. It goes for $7,500. And he wore it to Heidi Klum's 21st annual Halloween party at the Moxie Hotel in New York. And
Heidi Klum, who was married to Seal?
I do believe, yes. And so there, the armor has a goat's head on it and an inverted cross.
Oh, a goat? Wait a minute. Okay, so he dressed up as Satan. He's wearing some goat's head. It's not adding up to be anything positive.
Well, and the thing is, it drove all of his little fan creeps crazy. come on, Elon, we're fighting Satanists, and you choose to wear this? And so now they've decided that maybe he's the Antichrist.
Oh, you know what? I'm so glad we're talking, because I really, it's been on my, and speaking, I mean, only when you go to the Antichrist, you made me think about this shit. Because it's two things we're talking about, like cinema in terms of like video entertainment and real world shit. Now, Amazon Prime has got their video, man, it's just fucking unbelievable. There's so much good fucking content on Amazon Prime. It's unbelievable. However, there's a series on there called Counterpart. I believe it's called Counterpart. I wish I had the right name. But it's like a science fiction where there's something happening.
Oh, no. Counterpart? Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I watched the first season, and then it was one of those that I just kind of got lost because it takes forever and a day to get the second season. I've watched the first season of so many shows, and then it's like, well, we'll be back in 4 years.
Well, no, there's more out there now, and I mean, and it is. You have to give it a minute because it's really complex. Like you have to watch it twice, you know. But once you do that, once you get. Because it's mind bending. But what it reminds me of, and what I think they're talking about, is the Hadron Particle Collider. Because remember,
the Hadron Collider, yeah.
Yeah. See, people were worried. There's a whole faction. Like,
well, wait till you fire up Amazon Prime and watch the first three episodes. There's going to be six of them, but the first three episodes of The Peripheral.
Well, you know what? I have started The Peripheral because it said from the makers of Westworld. I was like, well, okay, I got to do it. Because Westworld.
It's good. And I like the fact that it's got hillbillies in it.
It got the hillbillies in there?
It got the hillbillies in there. That's right. Yeah. By the way, I've started something. Matt in San Francisco. Elon, Hearing about him exposing himself to a flight attendant on a private jet said everything one needed to know about that particular billionaire. There's that. Billable Rick pointing out he dressed in a Satan costume for Halloween. Hell, he merely peeled away his phony Elon face and showed his true colors. Oh!
That's right.
And Darlene, I'm so glad to hear from Darlene. I've been thinking about you. I hope you're okay. Heidi and Heidi Klum and Seal are divorced. They divorced quite some time ago, but yeah, thank you, Darlene. Billable Rick's Elon, the Antichrist? Not possible. Obama was the Antchrist. I saw a picture of his head on an ant's body, and it definitely wasn't Photoshopped. It was on the internet, so it was true. I, for one, welcome our insect overlords.
Did you hear Obama and his like pet rally? That mug, man, he sounded so, he was a fucking on point.
Boy, he's a badass.
Who could we miss? How can you fucking not like, I mean, what is wrong with these people? That's a real fucking president right there.
Dude, I'm talking here. Someday you'll get to talk, but not today, because I'm talking.
See, folks, this is what I mean.
Yeah, you see, folks, this is what I mean when I talk about when I talk about how our discourse has been lowered in this country.
See, now he's had his proper allotment of bong hits now. And he feels free.
Wait a minute. Probably getting to have a cigarette every now and then.
Yeah.
When Michelle ain't looking.
Dude, he looks like he's feeling good, man. I ain't lying.
What do you figure? When he smoked, what? And I'm just going to ask this, and I don't want any blowback. Is he a Marlboro guy, maybe a Camel guy? Or?
I think.
And I can hear Tracy thinking right now. I can hear her typing going, Newport, Newport, Newport.
No, I think he's a Marlboro Light.
You know, that would make sense.
You know, because I was always Marlboro. But, you know, the Marlboro Light folk, man, they were just like, I really don't like to smoke, but I'm going to. Because, I mean, it's something about a Marlboro. The Marlboro Red.
I quit the day I started my first dose of estrogen. So I don't know if I was a Camel Wide Blue guy or a Camel Wide Blue girl. I think, I was a girl all along. I was a Camel Wide Blue girl. But I loved them Camel Wides.
Oh, yeah. And they had 25 cigs in it, right?
No. That was just 20.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, the little maggots and wing nuts and cue balls are having a shit fit over Elon's costume. Meanwhile, he wants to charge the blue checkmark people $8 a month for their blue checkmark now. Have fun with that. Stephen King said, really? You ought to be paying me.
Well, we can't just do it all on ads. We gotta support the platform. Dude,
you are the richest man on earth. Take the loss. Write it off on your taxes, honey. But no, let's see. One little paranoid freak said, Elon and I purchased these together to honor our Dark Lord. Praise be. It's because of our Dark Lord that we have the money to purchase things like Twitter. We must honor him in tithe. As long as we do not deny him, the money will flow like honey, mixed with the blood of a white Christian goyim child on the altar of our evil Lord.
Nobody really. Did somebody really write that?
Yeah, that's a review on the that's a review for the costume.
Jesus Christ.
Wore this to a satanic celebrity party in Dracula's Castle, Romania. Fit me really well. If I don't comply, they will punish me. I am the Antichrist. They're among us.
The Antichrist.
Well, I'm going to vote tomorrow, I hope, at the worst. And, I have to look at the ballots.
Yeah, I think I'm going to early vote, too. I hope I am.
I'm gonna be like Mark Meadows. I'm gonna vote in four states.
Fuck Mark Meadows. He only voted in three.
You're like, I'm voting for.
Just to be spiteful.
Just to be. How come people are not talking about that? It galls me. I just like, come on, people.
Oh, and Darlene updated us, and I was afraid that this was the news we were going to get. Thank you, Darlene says, we lost my mom on October 25th, the longest day of my life, and it's been difficult. So many other stressful things happened in the ensuing week that I was just happy to be present in person at her wake and funeral. I need more time to heal, and so appreciated the support expressed by the Horn family when I called in last. I need a bit more time, otherwise I'll lose my composure on air. I understand, Darlene.
Darlene,
I get it. I know that. Todd gets it.
Yep. I do. I'm really just now grieving. I didn't have a chance to grieve, really. And you know, my father died, like, right in front of me. Like, I was giving him morphine every 2 hours, and he died right in front of me. And that would change. I mean, it changed me. You don't want to have to do that. It's just...
Yeah.
I mean, Darlene, hang in there. It'll, you know, it's hard.
It's, you can't really say that it gets better, but it gets more bearable.
That's why you're a poet, too. You're a word Smythe.
Smythe. That's Smythe with a Y and an A at the end. But, Darlene, our condolences and our deepest sympathies go out to you and to your family. I'm so sorry. I'm so very sorry.
It ain't no joke, man. I mean, because you start to feel alone. It's like, oh, you know, you start losing parents. You know, I mean, I got two. You know, and then you're just kind of alone. I still, you know, you can pick up the phone. Oh, I can't call him. You know? And my mom is not too, I mean, she ain't doing too well. So, doing that. But, Darlene, we love you. We want to hear from you.
And, yeah, you holler in when you're ready, honey.
And, Robin, you've been so gracious with your time, and maybe I want to make room for somebody else. Someone else, too.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had... I can't imagine what partying at the beach with you must be like. It had to be zany.
It was great. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And, you know, I get along with everybody. I really do.
I can't imagine you don't.
I'm a good person, you know. I meet people where they are. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here trying to change people, but so
meet people where they are, and most of the time you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. And you are a big heart, and we all
thank you. My heart's a lot lighter these days. Has been for about 2 years.
Well, good. And
I'm the anti Caitlin. Where did that come from?
Who said that?
I said that. I'm the anti-Caitlin. Oh, and I need to share a couple of notes here. Theo says, "Happy Celtic New Year, Robin." I'm having an epic wrestling match with my blood pressure hearing this stuff, talking about assault on women's rights. Close friends and women co-workers have had to terminate pregnancies or die and leave behind one or more small children and a grieving husband and family. Does living in a gated community and having resources to a lot of dark money really convince the anti-choice legislators that, quoth Christie, it doesn't matter? Well, yeah, there was a hearing at the Florida Medical Board this past week, and it was all about taking away rights from trans people to transition, especially kids. Mm-hmm. And they even went so far as to say there shall be no social transition, which just means dressing differently. But when some protester looked at one of these maggot assholes and said, their blood will be on your hands, which is true, or on your heads, which is true. The maggot actually replied, Todd, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's who they are.
They're sick. You remember way back when we first started talking, they were curing people dying because they didn't have no health care. Yeah, let them die. And they were, you remember that?
Oh, you mean when cranky old Ron Paul said, what do you want us to do, let him die in the hallway of the emergency room? And the whole room clapped?
They clapped.
I mean, that's who they are. Are we clear?
We're dealing with some fascist, social Darwinist-type population, you know. And I mean, but see, the thing is, that's who they are, but they don't want to be called that. It's like, don't call me a racist because I didn't, you know, I don't say nigger every day, but you do everything else, but don't call me a racist. Because I didn't call you a nigger since 1960. So what? You're still a fucking racist. Get the fuck out of my face. You know, I mean, you can call me a nigger all you want. It's a, you know, come on. That's a fucking word. How do you behave? Is it like, what are your actions?
Well, and you know, their actions were right there in Florida. Oh, that's fine. I don't care how many of them suicide. Oh, we've had a parallel track running on the on hybrids this evening.
He using in big words.
Parallel. That's three whole damn syllables. That's two more syllables than Nitwit Nero can understand. Dave number 11 just said, I just put lower control arms on my son's 2003 Honda Civic Hybrid 1.3 liter, 386,000 miles, still passes smog, and the little girl is a daily driver. Damn. That's a 19-year-old automobile.
Mm.
And you've never had to replace the battery? That's amazing.
Well, it is.
It's also a Honda.
Well, Honda, you know, the only reason I didn't get a Honda is that because I didn't tell you when Honda, they're just up there, but Hondas have that, they are a little, you know, they're nice, but.
A friend of mine has a RAV4 hybrid.
Now that you talk some shit there. Ooh.
And absolutely loves it.
See,
I'd love to have something like a Bolt though. I don't know how it would be like to jump in it and, you know, for one of my occasional forays down to Alabama or something.
Well, that's why I'm not quite ready for the full electric. That's why I don't know why it confuses a lot of people. It's very simple. You got a gas motor and an electric motor, and the gas motor is like a generator, and the electric motor is electric.
That's exactly what it is. It's a generator.
Yeah, and it's that simple. And so the computer figures out, and that's why I watch the gauges. You know, it's like
Like Matt said, you learn to drive to maximize your charge.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And you know, and I'll never forget when I first got it, I was, you know, it is confusing at first. So, you know, I'm online like everybody else and looking at, you know, what's the best way to operate this shit? Because it's totally new. It's weird. Just push a button and you can't even tell if it's on or off. And it's weird. But this one posting, this fella put on there who purported to be a person. So I say fella because, you know, whatever. He's like, look, just keep it in sport. Make sure the battery's topped off. And he was right. It was like a two-sentence posting, and I live by that. I keep, you know, you keep it in sport till your batteries are topped off, and then they put it in normal or eco. But I don't really use eco unless I'm really on the highway. I find that it's best in sport or normal with the batteries you topped off. But it's just amazing, man. And if you're in a flat area, shoot. And it just doesn't make sense. I just can't imagine buying a full gasoline vehicle anymore. It just doesn't make sense.
I don't think I'm going to next time, unless, you know, I have to buy some. And I don't even know when the next time's going to be, because
God, I think, well, getting close on the 2016 Ford Fusion, but not paid off yet. Mm-hmm. By the way, Dave number 11 says that 2003 Honda, the battery is second sourced at only 2K. It isn't robust like a Prius. So, yeah, if you think about what you saved in gas, you probably, I'm guessing Dave's laughing all the way to the bank. And Darlene says, thank you. I'm worried about my dad. He grew up with her. They've known each other since she was 10 and he was 11. They were married 58 years. She was 86 and he'll turn 87 in late November. Thank you both, Robin and Todd.
Oh.
Oh. What a life they live together. I mean, that's beautiful. That is just beautiful. I don't know how often that's going to happen in the modern world. But that's a thing. That's something to celebrate.
It is. It is. It, you know, and folks, I mean, all right, like me and my better half, I didn't know any better. Now, I've known her for, it's been, when we talk about it, I met her in 2001. And that's, you know, we're in 22. And, you know, I made a poor decision. And, you know, here we are, and we're like, what were we thinking about? You know?
Well, you know, I was at my high school reunion a few weeks back. Wow, almost a month ago now. That blows my mind. Time flies. But there's a couple there. They met in high school. They married. They've stayed married, and I guess they've been married just about short of as long as they've been graduated from the high school. That's amazing.
Sometimes it happens, like you have to listen to your heart. Like when you feel that spark sometimes, like love at first sight, there's something to that. It's like, you know, you can be searching, but.
Well, you know, if you're committed to working through the difficulties, you can. You can.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's the thing. When you're young, it's like you kind of give up. It's like, oh, it's too hard. But there's always going to be like rough spots. It's always going to be rough spots. That's life. And that's what makes your relationship stronger, when you get through the hard times. You see? But you try to tell somebody. I mean, people were telling me that when I, you know, and you just don't, it, you know, life is funny. Life is just.
Yeah, my parents got it right the second time around for both of them. And they managed to be married 37 years until my mom died in the late 90s. And wow, don't mean to turn the program into a bummer, but it's a beautiful thing when people decide that they're going to just be together. Billable Rick, Jude wants you to know, I turned 74 in September, and I love it.
Damn, man.
Atta girl, Jude. You don't look anywhere near your age, for starters.
You look so much better as a woman. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, you should have done that earlier on.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh well, I think that's agreed. But now Jude is a force of nature, and it tells in her appearance. I got to send a thank you out because we've gotten perilously close to actually meeting our goal this evening, and so. Yeah, perilously even. Now Henry jumped in. Thank you, Henry.
Henry.
Yeah, Henry out in Oakland, and we are only $150 away from being fully funded for the first day of the month, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that would wipe out, so we would be fully caught up all the way to tomorrow. You know, we'd be good for the first day of the month. So thank you, Henry. Thank you so much for everything you do. I cannot begin to thank you enough. And Billable says to Darlene, so sorry to hear about the loss of your mother. I bet she was a special lady. Yeah, I bet so too. I bet so too. Todd, it's great to hear from you, my friend. And, you know, next time you're driving by the state store, just think, hey, I'm not going to pull in there and get no peanut butter bourbon.
See, I love that you said state store. I love that.
Well, I mean, y'all got state stores, don't you? Or do you?
No, but see, Pennsylvania. That's
Pennsylvania's, that's yeah.
They blew, man. They're so parochial.
Well, see, way back in the day, and it's not like that anymore. There's still state stores in Alabama, but there's also retail stores. But back in the day, the state store, what the shorthand term for that was the Green Front store. The Green Front.
Really?
Uh huh. Because all the stores
the
frontage of the stores were all painted green. I guess because the state of Alabama got a bargain on green paint or something.
That's interesting. You know, Alabama and Mississippi, was Mississippi like that too?
I don't know if theirs were green because I never bought anything over there. But I'm sure they were state stores. Right, because the state had a monopoly.
I've never been to Mississippi.
Don't plan on going, right?
Yeah, I'm not interested. There'd be one state I'm not going to go to.
Well, I'll be curious. I'll be curious later on to find out from you if you fire up Hulu and watch the Jerry Falwell Jr. and Becca documentary.
How do you spell it?
What's the name of it? Is what you're asking is what's the name of the thing, and we will find out in a minute. Jerry Falwell Jr. documentary. God Forbid is the name of the documentary.
Love it. All right, I can't forget that.
Becky,
I never grow weary of talking with you. Honest to God. I don't. It's always fresh and new. It's always something we have. You know, it's just nice.
Yes, I'm checking here. Because I ran the audio from the trailer a while back, but this looks like it's going to be special, and you know it's premiering tonight on Hulu. I'm guessing Jerry and Becca are probably not having a watch party.
Jerry was complicated because he seemed like he was trying to do the right thing.
No. This is Jerry Jr. This is Jerry Jr. This is the guy who got up at Jerry Falwell University and bragged about carrying a gun on campus and carrying a gun everywhere he went because he was so he-man and butch and macho.
Oh, his jackass son, and it's snorting. That was the dude snorting the meth off the.
No. That was Ted. That was Ted Haggard. But I'll never forget the night that the story broke about how Jerry and Becca were partying in South Beach, and our buddy Scary Jerry called in and said, "Oh yeah, I know that place. You don't go there unless you a freak."
Oh shit! Isn't that something? See. We have operatives in every area. Don't fuck around.
Yeah, true, no. True. Ralphs, you get a cowbell, hon. Ralphs just said, maybe the pool boy's having a watch party? Yeah, I'll bet.
The pool boys.
Becca.
Becca.
Wow. Oh, God, I saw the...
But you know all along. I mean, they're freaks. Yeah, the nice, normal, wholesome LGBTQ people don't get busted in this shit.
Isn't it funny? That's the thing, because I know, you know, I've always had friends like that, and it's like, they're nearly as wild as the media, you know, most people are committed relationships.
Yeah.
And they're serious about it.
We're trying to find one.
That's the bullshit. So, you know, life is just funny, man. These people, I don't know.
And it was Jerry Falwell Jr. who started the trend of evangelicals absolutely throwing whatever values or morals they had into the dumpster and setting fire to it, to follow the, what is it, thrice married, twice divorced, four kids by three baby mama, you know, Donald Trump. Because Jerry Falwell is the one who said, well, you know, we are all God's children, and we are all sinners, and no one said he's perfect, just that he is the anointed one of God.
All right, Rush.
Oh, no, Rush is up here, my friends. Don't do that to me.
Don't be off Lucas. Don't be off Sandra Lucas. I was so mad.
My friends, I've almost developed a craving for pineapple down here.
Jesus.
Oh, he's somewhere else. He comes to the gates of hell and teases me with ice water from time to time.
What? Let me rewind for a minute, though, because honestly, man, you're rekindling some pistosity in my soul here about Sandra Fluke. How the fuck did he get away with that shit? Called her a slut pill? I mean, what the fuck, man? That could be somebody's dog. Come on, people have sex, man.
Well, my friends, it's only because this is a comedy program. I'm only joking, and the purpose of comedy is to challenge our beliefs. I'm just a commentator. I'm just a comedian. I certainly had no ill will in calling her a slut.
No. Let me tell you what this shit. This is before we knew what incels were. See, he was a fucking incel because he was a disgusting piece of shit. Couldn't get no pussy. See.
Well, there's a question of what the actually Todd, and I'm casting no aspersions. There's a question of whether he wanted any.
Well, there's that.
I mean, this is after all a guy who went on an all boys trip to the Dominican Republic, a place notorious for young boy sex trade. And had an illicit prescription, memory lane, an illicit prescription for Viagra when he was only hanging out with guys.
Well, look at him. What? I mean, all right, you know, it's.
And what were there, three Mrs. Limbaughs and no little Limbaughs?
You know, he's like one of these. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm saying there's a certain demographic of these old white men who go overseas and get these Asian women that they can dominate over.
No. That's where you're making your fundamental mistake.
What?
He went to the Dominican Republic because the Dominican Republic has a brisk trade in little boys.
I heard you say that, but that's just so fucking...
See, these are the assholes who are sitting around all the time saying, my friends are the homosexual community. Groomers, our pedophiles. And then they go on an all-boys trip to the Dominican Republic with a bottle of illicit Viagra.
And let me say this: I have a very good friend who's DR, and she's a dear friend of mine. And some of the most beautiful women in the world are Dominicas, as they say, Dominica. I mean, because they come in all shades, because it's all mixed up. It's like they're Indian, and I mean, when I say Indian, I mean like Native, Black, White, you know, everything all mixed up because you know ships and travel and such. I mean, some of those beautiful women.
Yeah, and old Mark's going down to the quarters.
to see some boys. What, I mean, if you're going to be gay, just say I'm gay. I like to fuck little boys. Just, but don't be fucking fronting. That's the whole thing. Be honest about yourself. Don't be fronting.
Well, I just discovered that Wilma the Wolf Spider has come to visit in the studio.
Right on time.
Yeah, well, you know, it's November and we're still dealing with mosquitoes. So, you know, I'm gonna leave her alone and hope the eating's good.
Well, you know what?
She's a big girl, too.
Big girl. Oh, big. Yo. Oh, my God. So this feral, the rainy season, it brings out the spiders. Like, this spider's, like, all over the place here. Like, we have all kinds of insects. Like, but the spiders are coming out.
She's not bothering me, so I'm not going to bother her.
Leave it alone.
Not that hard to do.
Robin, I think Scott wants to talk with you for some reason because he called me.
Okay. Okay.
You're like, okay.
Well, I gotta go to the stress line too. Matt also says, Rush, Medal of Freedom recipient. Another thing forever stained by Trump. See, we need a damnatio memoriae law.
I forgot.
Where
about
when
that.
Somebody
oh
is
God.
As bad as Trump is, we can undo everything he did. Boom. Handmade off the court. Boom. Brett Kavanaugh off the court. Boom. Neil let the black guy freeze to death in the truck. Gorsuch off the court. Boom. No more Medal of Freedom for Flush Flemball. Everything he did, you know, and you get all Yul Brynner about it. You know, let no longer the name of Moses be spoken in the land of Egypt. Yeah. And,
bro, that's a cowbell, man.
Try not to do those voices so much anymore, but yeah.
Oh, you oh God. You brought the Yule log in. You brought the Yule log. Preseason.
Preseason. Oh, the cowbells are going fast and furious. Todd, have yourself a wonderful evening. Don't forget to go by your local Piggly Wiggly and pick up some Kaneka sausage and maybe your Publix. I don't know.
Oh, God. What am I going to do with you?
But we need to do that with Nitwit Nero. Scrape his name off of everything.
No, he goes to you're erasing history. Why are you taking that statue of Trump down? Robert E. Lee and Trump, that is the best thing ever happened in history.
Give Trump chains.
Give him chains, goddamn you, give that man chains. He ain't done nothing wrong. He doing the right thing. Let me say this before you hang up on me.
Before I hang up on you, okay.
I know, right? But seriously, the orange man, the mentally ill fascist, he talked a good game about America first, America jobs. But what he did, remember, and I have to say this every fucking day till I die, he gave a permanent tax break to the super wealthy of 20%. 20%! People who don't even work for money, 20%. 20%. What if you got a fucking 20% raise just for doing nothing? You go to work, oh, here, you got a 20. What did I do? Nothing? Here. Matter of fact, have a couple more bucks and some free lunch. But no food stamps for people who need to eat. No, no, no. And at the same time, we got to deal with all this other bullshit.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, let's keep that in mind, folks. Let's really keep that in mind. That, like, and these people are still raping us. The super wealthy are raping us with all these. See, it's greed. It's greed. It's corporate greed.
Well, it is. And it's money they didn't need. And curiously,
at the same time that the Republicans can throw a shit hemorrhage over student loan forgiveness of $10,000 to $20,000 for borrowers, yeah, they can do that. No, I mean, yeah, they're just, you know, it's a few trillion dollars, whatever. Just saw some breaking news. You'll be interested from the L.A. Times. More information on David DePape. Prosecutors say that he was, in fact, on a suicide mission. And that he had a list of other people he wanted to attack.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if they mentioned who else.
We didn't talk about that. That's some foul shit. That really. But they want to talk about Black Lives Matter. Every time they talk, what about Black Lives Matter? And I mean, that carries some history. It's like they just, white, honor white people just don't want to see more than three black folk together, like talking about real shit. It makes them nervous. Yeah. Hey, Denmark VC, VC-ish. They get nervous purpose.
By the way, this, and he was a maggot. He had a blog post called It's Okay to Be White. And he was a fan of 4chan.
Oh, well, that's all you need to hear. Okay.
But eventually we'll find out the other people that he wanted to kill.
He ain't the only one, people.
Which is creepy as hell.
Halloween ain't over. The gargoyles are out.
Oh, I'm afraid Halloween is sort of a permanent condition at this point. Sure, the candy's on sale today, and yeah, it'll be all Christmas all the time, all the way to December 26th. I'm so old I can remember when Christmas season started at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they started putting Christmas shit up 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, no kidding. It's like, at least give Halloween a chance.
Give it a chance. Give them demons a chance. Let them demons demonize a minute, goddamn.
It's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it is that.
Robin. Look, keep it lit.
Yeah, I'm trying.
If you really want to try, go to Jersey.
Oh, I was going to tell you one thing. I was looking at the map today of Charlottesville because I got my little trip planned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I noticed they got in Charlottesville?
Mm-mm.
They got a Wawa.
Mm-mm. Get the fuck out of here. They got a Wawa?
They got a Wawa in Charlottesville.
Uh-oh. Baby, go to Wawa. They got the free ATM and PNC Bank, man. You get a free...
Yeah, it's the same thing with Sheetz. Free ATM. Sheetz and Wawa are the... You know, Sheetz is the Western Pennsylvania version. Wawa is the Eastern Pennsylvania version. And they're expanding. Sheetz came down into West Virginia, and I guess Wawa's expanded into Virginia. Sheetz got the short end of that stick.
Yeah, they did. But every Sheetz I've been in was nice and clean.
Oh, yeah, I love Sheetz.
Sheetz, man. Sheetz.
And my local Sheetz is staffed by just wonderful, wonderful people. Love them to pieces.
How local is it? How local are you, Sheetz?
Across the river. They won't put one over here because everything's dying. They done shut down our Walgreens. So the
fuck out of here.
Yeah, they shut. Yeah, we that store's been here for 30 plus years, and they've pulled the Walgreens got hold of Rite Aid, and they pulled the plug on it. So old folks over here who had a hard enough time getting to Walgreens going to have to go 15 miles to the other one across the river.
Let me tell you something. That ain't good, because even where I live, like these people who are slinging these pharmaceuticals, they are overworked. They're like, you better check your fucking bag. You may not be getting the medication you think you get. It's too much on these folks.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny. I know, because I take care of old people, man. It's ridiculous.
Like, oh, no, this is wrong. This, you know, no, the measurement's wrong. No, it's supposed to be 30 milligrams, not 15. And it's supposed to be 30, not 10. You know, do it again. I'm sorry you overworked. It's not my fault. You know, it's fucked up. Corporate America.
Yeah. Todd, you have a good evening, my friend. Sorry to keep hanging you on and hanging you on and hanging you on.
You're not. And you know, it's just, I'm just glad.
Well, sit back and take a shot of that banana whiskey that I know you bought.
You know what? All right. Now, I'm gonna call you again tomorrow out of spite now.
Oh, my God. Spite calls to the horn. Yeah, this here William Spot calls. That's what this here is.
Okay. I'll see you later.
All right, see you, Todd. Bye. Ah, oh, Todd, back from his beach vacation. Darlene, you got a note from Jude. Jude says, my mother died when I was 31. It was difficult to breathe for quite some time. I'd always told her that her love for me was almost too much for one heart to hold. Every so often, I sense on some level a whisper of her. It's comforting. I shall hold you close in my meditation times. And anything you need, I'm just an email away. In peace, Jude. P.S. I couldn't call in as I was driving. I would have offered more tenderness. Please give my deep care to Todd. And I will. I will, Jude. I will. Todd just heard that. So, yeah, about 15 minutes left in the program and $150 to go to be even. With the evening and get the month's bill paying started. If we could knock some of it down, that'd be great. But we did meet Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge, and thank you all so much for that. Mark and Max and Henry, thank you for the challenge. Ralphs and Chris, thank you. And there's another story saying that David DePape told prosecutors that he was on a suicide mission and he had a list of other politicians. But for some reason or another, and I guess it's to protect the integrity of the investigation, I guess, they're not saying who those others were. Maybe they're taking time to warn the people. I guess that makes sense. Let's go over and check in on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, I always like hearing Todd talk to you, and I wish I'd been able to get in on that call because I was going to ask his advice on something.
Go ahead.
Chris and I are planning Thanksgiving dinner. I'm going over to her blind for dinner, and we decided to do a pork roast, slow cook a pork roast for Thanksgiving. And she wants to put apple pie filling in toward the end on top of the roast and cook it down a little bit. And I'm thinking, how should I spice it? I'm thinking using a steak rub, like a Montreal steak rub.
Well, but Dave, I mean, apple pie, if you just use apple pie filling out of a can, that's going to be pre-spiced.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the garlic or the pepper.
Do you want that? I mean, if you want that, what you want to do is you want to season whatever kind of roast you're using. You want to season that first and then slow cook it and then add your apples.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. Doing a rub and then doing the slow roast. Because it's only going to take about four hours or so to get done. Go in about hour three and put the apple pie filling on. Because you can't go wrong with pork and apples. I think apples were created to complement pork. But I was wanting Todd's advice on that because I know that you are pork butt experts. And
Is that what you're gonna do? Are you gonna use a butt or a shoulder?
No, we're gonna do a butt because it'll fit in the cooker a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I mean, I figure trimming off some of the fat.
Oh, don't trim it before you cook it.
Don't trim it. Okay. No.
And what you can do is when you pull it all out and put it on a platter or whatever, then you can take your broth and chill it and scrape the fat off, and you've got a beautiful pork broth.
Ooh, and I could make an apple spiced pork gravy with that.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could.
Oh my God, Robin, that's genius. By the way, Christine's looking for a new blind.
Oh yeah, trailer's not working out. One.
No, the furnace is making all kinds of noises, and Christine doesn't feel safe there.
I can understand.
So her bankruptcy attorney told her, get moved, let me know, we'll convert your Chapter 13 over to a Chapter 7. And because these guys have done a bait and switch on her after she had her stroke, there have been all kinds of problems. And she's only going to be paying a couple hundred bucks more for more room. So I'm hoping that she likes where she's moving, because she wants to rent now because A, her age, and B, if there's something wrong, she can demand that they do something. The problem is most of the buildings on that side of Indianapolis are over 100 years old. And let's just say insulation might have been considered a real scientific term back then, but it wasn't something used in practice. And the past for insulation was old newspapers. And, we went into one old house that had a newspaper from 1919 in the wall. It's just bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's some great, yeah. And I mean, that's some great reading.
Yeah. The problem is it wasn't in very good shape because, at the time it was nearly 100 years old, and you just touch it, it disintegrated. We did find an old Strohs can, and Christine went on eBay and sold that for $35, but it's all rusted out. I said it'll be a good one for somebody to start their beer can collection. But, yeah. And I was thinking, that show God Forbid, I may have a little news on that. I'm thinking Becca might have had Jerry dressed up in a baseball uniform so he could bat clean up.
Oh, Dave. Dave.
I know. That was a reluctant cowbell. I understand. It was bordering on a dinner, but I had to go with the joke. Once it's there, it's there. But who would want to watch about that story? I mean,
I'm absolutely going to watch it. I'm, yep.
Oh, please.
No, it's just it's bias confirmation. I want to see that these people were as freaky and filthy and grifty as I expected them to be.
Yeah, true. But now God loves them because they're multi-gazillionaires. I mean, you know, give me money and God will bless you kind of bullshit that his daddy pulled
for years.
And, of course, the dean of all that was Oral Roberts, who, you know, the boys down at the shop have a picture of him up in the break room.
Well, Oral was grifting only for Oral. See, that's the seminal role that Jerry Falwell Sr. served. He basically came in, capitalized and monetized evangelical Christianity and turned it into the political and turned it into the religious wing of the Republican Party. Up until Jerry Falwell, they had largely the Southern Baptist Convention had largely stayed out of politics. Sure, they barked and grunted about their morals and not daints and whatever. But they understood, you know, we'll stay out of your politics and you stay out of our church. Oral Roberts was just a Pentecostal hustler who was out there working his own corner. Falwell was the serpent in the garden.
Yeah. I remember my stepdad's father was a big time fan of Jerry Falwell Sr. Oh, he's a man of God. And I'm like, really?
Oh, hell, my house was filthy with Oral Roberts books, you know, Seed Faith. But this isn't Prayer Meeting Wednesday, so we better not do this.
No, but I absolutely, as I said yesterday, I absolutely loved the intro that Lady B did for you. And that should go down in horn history as the first time your name was
Yes. Isn't that beautiful?
And I want to mark the occasion so that we've got it on tape. So now every Halloween is going to be, that's going to be a big anniversary. Your transition anniversary is coming up. That's going to be a big one. And, of course, December 31st being the day you came out.
The coming out anniversary. Yeah.
Right.
The 9th is my surgiversary. The 31st is my coming out anniversary. Yeah.
And so this 3-month period is going to be a big one for you going forward.
Well, yeah, basically everything from September 1st to December 31st. I got all kinds of anniversaries in there.
I mean, you quit smoking and you know, I applaud you for that. You've got extensions in your family with the new grandbabies and all that's wonderful. I hope the kids get to feeling better.
Thanks. We do too. It's hard watching them be miserable.
And you know, and Darlene, take all the time you need, honey. We will all still be here, and don't worry. Even if you call back and you do break up on the air, don't worry
about
it.
You will not be the first, and that includes me.
Yes.
I've come apart here a couple of times.
And God only knows, when Mom was so sick, I remember how often I was breaking up on the air. Don't worry about it, honey. You got enough people that love you. that we'll be here for you no matter what. So you come back when you feel comfortable and take good care of yourself, which includes, I might add, going and treating yourself to maybe, I don't know, if you're into hot fudge sundaes every year, go ahead and get yourself one. Relax and know that Dave and the Blind is giving you permission to have a nice thick coating of hot fudge and just relax and remember your mom. That's what helped me. Remembering the parts of my mother's personality that made me the man I am today. That's both good and bad, but it's a life that when you're reflecting on her life, you're also reflecting on your own. And so that can help. That's my advice. I just wanted to call in and let you know. And I'm sorry that you didn't get to go as Dr. Frankenfurter. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah, we'll save it for next year.
I had a friend. He was about 6'4", 6'5", and he used to do the stage show.
Wow.
As Frankenfurter. And he had breast augmentation. And he would say, you know, sometimes I just go to the grocery store and don't feel like putting a bra on. And I'm wondering if the guys are looking at me for me or if they're just looking at my boobs.
Wait, how did they identify? I mean, was this a trans individual or non-binary or what?
He was a non-binary.
I kind of heard the he and I went, cringe.
No, he was a non-binary. He identified as male, but he had the breast augmentation, identified as gay, and that was where he was when I knew him, you know, 15 years ago. Now, I don't know, maybe he's gone a little farther down the life path and things have changed, but I'm addressing him as him because that's the way he identified then. I have another friend who lived in Bloomington who was fully transitioning, and she was an amazing person. And I remember when we had to raise money for the LGBT Student Services Office because Indiana University wouldn't fund them. So they gave them a building to operate their office out of. They gave them a phone extension, but that was the extent of the university's support. So basically, they had a lot of fundraising in the community. And one of the fundraisers was when Ellen DeGeneres' character on Ellen came out. They had a two-hour thing, and there was a big party, and it raised a lot of money, and that money went. And then a couple months after that, the university convinced itself to fund the office, even though for about the first year, it was a community-driven thing, and it still had that flavor in that. Everybody was welcome there. You didn't have to be a student. It was a great resource. It was a great place. And oddly enough, the first student they helped turned out to be a young Republican. And so, you know, if you've got a cause or you've got something that you, you want to support and you want to make sure survives this right-wing onslaught, go out there and support it. It can be a community center. It can be something like the student services thing. It can be the horn. It can be anything. Just, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just go out there and do something besides voting.
In other words, get active.
Like, get active, and if you really want to twist the knot in these fascist tails, make them respond to you. I noticed that my junior senator is pronouncing his name as Brown, even though it's spelled Braun. Maybe because too many people asked him about his great aunt Eva. I don't know who would do that. I don't know anybody personally off the top of my head who might not be calling from a blind and asking if they had any wedding photos from his great aunt's wedding in Berlin in 45. You know, maybe pictures from a bachelorette party. I don't know. But, these, and do not allow these assholes to call themselves patriots as if they're the only ones who love democracy or love this country. A, they don't love democracy, and they've proven they don't love this country. Don't let them get away with co-opting love of country or love of community or values or any of that shit. This is the kind of stuff that Jerry Falwell Sr. and, you know, Marion Robinson and all those idiots have foisted on the American public. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right.
Anyway. So, if you need to find out if there's a Rocky Horror group in your area, Robin. And
Halloween will come again next year.
Well, that's true, too. Although I do have to say, one Christmas vacation in Anchorage, a couple of my buddies and I decided, or a couple of my buddies decided to take me to a midnight show of Rocky Horror. I had no idea what I was getting into. And it happened to be at during the daylight hours, this theater was a purveyor of fine cinema. And on Friday night at midnight, it turned into a Rocky Horror sanctuary.
Nice.
And it was wonderful. And of course, they had me sitting in the back row. So these guys had me set up way, you know, way ahead of time. And I got to say, it changed my life. It's one of those things that if I ever meet Richard O'Brien, shaking his hand and buying him a drink.
You might want to think twice about that because he's kind of come out as a TERF, last I checked.
Oh, he has. Wow.
Pretty sure.
That,
I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
That's disconcerting. Now, before I go, I do have a DJ... trigger warning. there's a new name for MTG, and it's inspired by none other than Charlie Daniels' band. We finally figured out the woman that he was talking about in the song Uneasy Rider. And I believe that it was Marjorie Taylor Greenteeth.
Okay.
Don't bother. Don't bother. I had to go a long way for that one. Don't bother reaching for the bell on that one. I'll give myself a dinner. Anyway.
Thanks for having the dignity to do that. Dave, have yourself a good evening. Give our best to Christine, please.
I will. Bye, Robin.
All right. Take care, Dave. Bye. And so we come to the end of the program. We're actually down to $125 to go to finish the whole evening. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much for helping us get the month started well. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to Steve as well. Thanks to Roger, recently promoted to moderator. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Wear your mask when you're among the great maggot unwashed and unvaxxed. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. And, you know, when you wear your mask, you're going to cut down on flu and RSV and COVID and all kinds of things. Masks are not a bad idea. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, of course, if you see somebody coming down the street saying, well, that's fine if their blood's on our hands. That's fine. Avoid that maggot Floridian like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.